Anybody here like Christmas songs? Yeah, a few? All right, so I know I run the danger of people coming up after the service and telling me what the best lyrics are to Christmas songs. But we're going to start this morning, and I'm going to share some of my favorite lyrics in Christmas carols. This is not an exhaustive list. So I know you know lyrics that are better, and I've left many out. But I'm going to share some lyrics, and we'll see if you know which song I'm talking about. Okay, ready? Is it good? All is calm, all is bright. Ah, don't you just love that image? Calmness and brightness. Next one is, let your heart be light. From now on, your troubles will be out of sight. Yeah. Okay, this next one. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Everybody know? Joy to the world. All right. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Reuben's screaming it out already. He's saying, spit it out. What is it, Reuben? Yes, hark the herald angels sing. Then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. And what's that? I heard the bells, yeah. These words have just been so helpful as we understand Christmas. Every year when we bring these song lyrics back, it reminds us of the story of Christmas and the reason why Jesus, God, came in the flesh and made his dwelling among us. And there's some particular lines that have been meaningful to me that we're going to go in. So I will start to share them. And they are, oh, bring me some figgy pudding. Just kidding. Which one is that, though? Okay, you know that one? Okay, here's the real one. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. We did that one this morning, didn't we? Oh, holy night. And the reason why I wanted to bring these lyrics up and that it was so perfect for Pastor Brandon to choose this song at the beginning of our service is there's a word that's come to me often in the past week. And I was so glad Pastor Brandon spoke last week and he talked about the daily struggle for peace. Because when I came last week, it's how I felt, and then it's a word that's kept coming to me. And that one word is weary. Now, Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. I know we got maniacs like Josh Mott who love everything about Christmas and just think it's awesome. And Josiah, his son, he's passing it along. But it's also a time when probably many of us are susceptible to being weary. And there's probably going to be a time for most of us when we just feel weary. So I want to speak this morning to those who are weary. Why are you weary? Maybe because it's because of busyness. Maybe all you want for Christmas is a silent night. And it's loud and you got kids around or you're taking care of people who are sick. And it's just, there's more to do than you can handle. And you just want a rest. And you feel weary. Or maybe your problem is the opposite. There's someone that you miss and the quiet is deafening and you feel the pain of loneliness or mourning and there's a sense of weariness. Maybe it's financial. Bills tend to be higher around Christmas time and we know there's a lot of obligations and expectations for gifts to buy. And it can be a time when the budget is already tight and we wonder how we can afford another thing. And the financial hits just keep coming and they leave us a little bit weary. Maybe it's medical. There's a health concern and you don't feel good or your body hurts or you're worried about the future. and those worries, those medical troubles of you or a loved one leave you feeling a little bit weary. Maybe it's relational. There's a relationship that's broken and it's been devastating to you, and you've struggled and you've been weary over it. For those of you who maybe come in, just like I did last week, I want to encourage you to hear Jesus' words. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So today I want you to know there's no lecture. There's no advice to try harder or to buck up. What I hope today is, as we look at the advent of Christ, the coming of Christ, is that it's an invitation to come and find rest. It's an invitation for those of us who are weary. So we're going to start off with a question about the Christmas story. The question is, okay, we're going to go back to the Christmas story. So I'm using the Christmas story, not a Christmas story. So this isn't about Ralphie or Red Ryder BB guns, okay? This is the Christmas story. In the Christmas story, whose birth was foretold by an angel? Jesus, right? Now, I have to admit that that was a trick question, because in the Christmas story, there are two babies whose births were foretold. The other one's name was John. And John even came first. And he came first, and then he got a little bit overshadowed. But in the Christmas story, an angel foretells the birth of a guy that we call John the Baptist. Now, John, back in his time, he was a person who was kind of a big deal. He had large crowds that would follow him. In his country, he was about the most well-known person. Maybe Herod, who was the king, might have been more well-known, but he was more well-loved. And people would flock to him they would travel from miles around to just hear what he had to say and see him and hang on his every word. John was a guy who had a lot of power and influence and big crowds. He had an entourage too, and those guys felt pretty important. To be connected with somebody like John the Baptist, where everybody, he was the hottest ticket in town. He was the one that everyone wanted to see. And so being a part of his crowd was pretty nice deal too. And then something happened. Jesus came onto the scene. And as Jesus emerged and his star began to rise, John's crowds decreased. And the buzz of the people around him went away. And it was becoming clear to John's group of people, his entourage, that they were quickly becoming yesterday's news. There was one coming behind them who was taking their attention, stealing their thunder. Now, it can be very difficult to lose attention. And I had recently, my newest niece was born around Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving. And when, yeah, it's exciting. And when her big brother first met his little sister, he had been the baby of the family, and the three-year-old meets his sister. And when he does, he says this. What? Take her back. You know how this story goes, don't you? He says, the three-year-old boy says, I don't like it. Take him back. Even though it's a girl, right? I don't like it. And it gave me, when I heard about how that went down, I was reminded of my son, who was 3 years old, and when his sister took his place as the baby, had a similar kind of reaction. It's kind of human nature. We have sibling rivalries. So when somebody comes later, a lot of times the person who was first is threatened. The other person might steal some thunder, steal some attention, and it can be difficult. Well, it was difficult for John's crowd, and they ask him about it. They're like, yeah, you've probably noticed here, our crowds are decreasing and Jesus is increasing. What do you think about this? And John said, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. man, it can be really tough to go from center stage to off to the side, from headliner to opening act. It's really hard. Nobody really wants to be the sidekick, do they? Being a sidekick is difficult. We want to be the number one, not the number two. And here he is. He's been reduced from the main man, the hero, to sidekick. And his people are not okay with that. Because now, as John reveals in his answer, his understanding that he never was supposed to be the featured artist. He was the opening act, is how he understood himself. A couple months ago, I went to a conference in the Chicago area. It's called Exponential. And at Exponential, one of the speakers that we heard was a guy named Jim Kruger, who's like a comic book guru. And he was talking to us about comic book heroes and villains. And he observed that in comic books, the hero always starts from a broken place before he becomes the hero. And that the hero needs a hero maker to come alongside and help patch up the wounds and help the broken person to transform into the hero. And he also observed that villains often start with good intentions. And their question is, how can I help? And they come up with all these different ways. But then in helping others, it gets to the ego. And they become so important that the villain who originally started out trying to help becomes the villain because it traces back. The ego is fed and you recognize how great you are. And that the hero becomes the villain. And he observed that the hero is always in danger of becoming a villain. And the lone wolf hero is going to be overwhelmed. The weight is going to be crushing. And that there's a good chance that the hero will slip into villain. But the hero maker won't. The hero maker's focus is on building the hero up. Lone wolf hero gets weary and they crash. When I heard his words, I thought of a line that Pastor Brandon and I like from a comic book movie called The Dark Knight. They say, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And that's a lot of times what can happen if we're center stage and it becomes all about us. We're the hero, and if we have to keep being the hero, it's easy to become the villain. John was faced with that temptation, John the Baptist, of become the villain against Jesus. This new guy, he could have fought against him, but instead he embraced his role as the hero maker. Now the guy, there's another John, and it's the John who is writing about John the Baptist. It gets a little confusing. But another John wrote when he was an old man about joy. And he said this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Ultimate joy comes not from being the hero or not from even ourselves, but it's from other people. A lot of times we can get sidetracked with rivalries, even from at the very beginning. In the book of Genesis, the very first siblings that were introduced, there's a pretty huge sibling rivalry. And that the firstborn, Cain, gets a little bit jealous that Abel's getting some positive attention. And he lashes out and he kills him. And he famously, when God appears to him and says, hey, you know where your brother Abel is? He answers, he doesn't, he lies. But he says famously, am I my brother's keeper? And that becomes a question all throughout the rest of the story. Are we our brother's keeper? Is our brother or sister our rival? Are we our brother's keeper? Another John, got a lot of Johns here, but another John, he's a pastor down the road, put on social media this week a quote from another, I think, pastor that Brandon and I approve of named Andy Stanley. And he wrote this, your greatest accomplishment may not be something you do, but someone you raise. John got this so well. He knew even when he was losing the attention that the attention was never his to keep. He wasn't made. He was there to prepare the way for someone else, not to be the headline of the show. And he accepted his role as that, as the one who is the hero maker. Let's look what he said in John 3:29. He says this: "The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." Hear that about joy? His joy was made complete when he saw Jesus at the center. He knew that his role was not to be in the center of the aisle, but off to the side watching the one who's in the center. He understood that his role was not to increase, but to decrease. John was saying it's not about being in the center. Joy is in God's glory. It's found in giving it to someone else. Paul wrote something similar. "Complete my joy." Do you hear that again? About complete joy? "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others more significant than yourselves." One of my favorite stories is The Lord of the Rings. And I love the movie adaptations. And there's all kinds of heroes all throughout the story. And there's one character that for me is my favorite, and that is Samwise Gamgee. He's like the ultimate sidekick, the ultimate hero maker. And his role isn't to carry the ring, it's to be with the one who's going to carry the ring to destroy the ring. And there's a scene in the movie of the Two Towers near the end when Frodo, the hero, the ring bearer, is overwhelmed and says, "I can't do it. I just can't do it." And Sam listens and empathizes like a good friend, a good hero maker. He's ready to brush up the wounds and help him get back on the path so he can take that hero's path and do what he was meant to do. And Sam acknowledges that it's wrong, but he says this: "It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. Sometimes you did not want to know the end, because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing. This shadow, even darkness, must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it will shine out the clearer. Those are the stories that stay with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I now know. Folks in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something." Frodo here, a little bit less despondent, says, What are they holding on to, Sam?" And he answers. He pulls Frodo up and he says that there's something good in the world and it's worth fighting for. They go on and Sam keeps building Frodo up back on the path. He's back on the path to be the hero. Sam's telling him, "Someday the kids are going to tell stories of you." And Frodo stops him and says, "Wait a minute, they're going to be asking about you too, because Frodo wouldn't have gotten far without Sam." The hero maker doesn't get a lot of attention, but the hero maker gets a lot of joy. That joy is now mine and it's complete. When our joy is other focused and it's in something greater than ourselves. So what do we do? What does this have to do with Christmas, right? We're talking about John the Baptist and Jesus. What does it have to do? Well, there were a few angel proclamations. We remember that the angel foretold the birth of Jesus, and an angel proclaimed the birth of John. And an angel also proclaimed something about you and something about me. And what that angel proclaimed was this. It was actually two people who were, we said that John, John was sidekick, but he proclaimed it to people who were off stage. Shepherds, they were working the night shift. And this is what happened. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. To those who are weary, rejoice. Even if you are losing attention, health, popularity, money, influence, we can rejoice. We can rejoice in God's glory and increase. Jesus' name, Emmanuel, means God with us. And God has come, and we can come to God. So I want to encourage you, this invitation this morning is that invitation to come to Emmanuel. It's to come and experience Him and seek Him for rest. Can you imagine if we're out there living for God's glory and going out there and pouring joy into others, what God can do? Amazing things can happen for those who are on the path of descent, those who are getting lower so that He can increase. And I want you to hear this. Even if it's dark, the light of the world shall come to us. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are good news of great joy for all the people. And today we come confessing that we need a Savior. Sometimes the weight of life leaves us weary. Sometimes the weight of sin is crushing. Thank you for the good news that we don't have to be the hero and pull ourselves out of all our problems, but that you will give us a lift. We invite you to come, Lord Jesus. Please fill us with the Holy Spirit. Please fill us with more hope, peace, joy, and love this holiday season so that we can give it to others. Help us to be like Jesus and give ourselves up for you and others. May we decrease so that you can increase. In Jesus' name, amen.